Life had become existent, the root remained, the light remained, the flakes remained, but the creation was one with everything in its division. From sentences 159 to 163, it is further explained as follows: having recognized itself in its consciousness, the creation grasped the worth of its coming forth idea. Through the power of its thoughts, it created further, it created bodies and forms in multiplicity and variety, through which it animated the universe in diversity. And if I should now explain this in an interpretive way, which goes beyond the spiritual teaching into physics and which should be understandable, then I must do this as follows: the creation flakes, or rather the flakes that were created by the creation and that formed in the empty space of the universe, were hydrogen formations, in which all the building blocks or 280 elements of life as well as all matter and gases, etc., which were already created by the creation, were existent. These hydrogen formations or hydrogen flakes combined themselves over the course of time into larger masses and condensed themselves to such an extent that incredibly high temperatures arose within their interior and detonated the mass. These were, if I may say so, the first original supernovae or original supernovas of the growing material universe belt. Even today, and throughout the entire future of the existence of the universe, the same still takes place. It's just that the form of the flakes has changed, because today, these are huge solar structures that explode out of themselves and eject from themselves all elements in the universe, by what means life and the entire existence of all that exists is guaranteed in a constant growth and decay as well as new emergence. Through the enormous explosions of the solar structures, which are often many times the size and mass of our sun, the building blocks of life, all necessary elements, are released and distributed throughout the universe. From this, new compounds, gases, neutrinos and so on and so forth are created, which, in turn, form into structures, into galaxies, from which ultimately suns, planets, nebulae, and comets, etc. develop again, and through this, new life also develops again on suitable structures and planets. But this happens more in the outer regions of the galaxies, like, for example, in our spiral galaxy, in which we exist with our solar system in the outer regions of a spiral arm, and to be sure, in the so-called Orion spiral arm. Quetzal, 8. In such a short form, I couldn't have explained it better. Billy, so you mean that my explanation is sufficient? Quetzal, 9. That is correct. 10. If I had to explain the whole thing, then my explanations would have been much more extravagant. 11. Also, you amaze me again and again, how you, on the one hand, retain so much in your memory and, on the other hand, how briefly and exactly you know how to explain things. Billy, as you may think fit, we've already talked about this once, that the Earthlings, in addition to the Hubble Space Telescope, still want to send another one into the sky, which would be much larger. Can you explain something more about this? Quetzal, 12. Always provided that the relevant earthly technology becomes further developed within the given framework and that the still forthcoming plans actually become realized, then approximately in the year 2025, an enormous and multipart laser space telescope will be brought into a stationary orbit around the Earth, which should mainly serve for the discovery of planets in foreign solar systems, which is why it will then also be named Planet Seeker. 13. This will be so, in addition to other projects of a similar nature, but ones that should already find their fulfillment earlier. Billy, aha, so then, it will still take a while. Then something else, we already talked about the fact that the so-called books of the New Testament, which actually only represent articles or the like, were not written in a single instance by all those to whom they are attributed. Among all the disciples, only Judas Iscariot was knowledgeable of reading and writing, in addition to Jmanuel himself, who wasn't a disciple but was, rather, the teacher. All the letters, etc. of the disciples were, in fact, written by women and men, and indeed, on behalf of the disciples, for at that time, it wasn't the case that many were experts of writing and reading. There were only the scribes and a few others who learned to write and read because there were no special schools, as these are now available everywhere all over the world and children are obligated to attend them in most countries. But while the Bible and the attached New Testament give the impression that a large part of the people in Jmanuel's time would have been able to read and write, this actually doesn't correspond to the truth, however, because the vast majority of the people at that time, including the disciples, with the exception of Judas Iscariot and Jmanuel, was ignorant of reading and writing. Only special prophets, rulers, and their subordinates in special offices were able to read and write. Thus, it was very rare that ordinary citizens could learn to read and write. And while we're at it, the Bible is an invented Jewish chronicle, which very well holds certain truths in itself but, on the whole, is fictitious and was written together by 12 of the book knowledgeable men who called themselves prophets and who, in 40 days, wrote 240 books or stories that were based on ancient oral acceptances, assertions, and traditions and deliberate distortions, from which arose, then, the second holy book, the Torah number 2, that is the five books of Moses or the Pentateuch of Judaism. The first Torah had been destroyed in a devastating fire, after which then, more than 400 years later, the second Torah was written by the 12 alleged prophets, as said. Thus, the Bible has nothing to do with true history books or with true textbooks and is in no way connected with a testament. In truth, it mostly concerns fantasized together fables without any value, which were then stolen in their entirety by Christianity in the last consequence and reshaped for itself. Thus, Christianity itself has also created an alleged chronicle and a past, which are actually designed solely for Judaism and have nothing at all to do with Christianity. Jmanuel also wanted nothing to do with this chronicle, for he didn't teach their nonsense but rather the teaching of the Spirit, as he had received it from the line of Enoch. And what is still to be said, it really was so, that in Jmanuel's time, as I said, out of all the disciples, only Judas Iscariot was knowledgeable of reading and writing, while the others were illiterates. This also applies to the seven disciples who belonged to the group, but of whom no records exist from Judas Iscariot, as well as not of the various other women and men, who were on the move with Jmanuel during the time of his spreading of the teaching. At the same time, I also wonder whether it will one day become known that Jmanuel's disciples only went with him occasionally because they repeatedly had to perform their work and business, etc. at home, about which Judas Iscariot also wrote nothing, and thus, the impression is given that the disciples had always been with and around Jmanuel. Furthermore, everything written by Judas is only a brief outline of the entire life, teaching, and work of Jmanuel, for in fact, this one wasn't just on the move and spreading the teaching for only 3 years or so, as is maintained by Christianity. Rather, he was already active in this form starting from his 6th year of age, and thus, for a total of almost 29 years when he was beaten to the cross at the age of a little more than 34 years. Now the short question of the long speech, will everything that I have now disclosed one day be found out and made known? Quetzal. 14. Gradually, it will be so, yes. 15. The time will become very long, however, because the Christian religion's powerful figures will try to suppress the truth by all means. 16. In addition, believers of all kinds cannot be taught so easily, and indeed, this is true of all religions and sects that exist on earth. 17. Just as all religious delusions of every kind, no matter what form, were built up over very long periods and were received for thousands of years or centuries or even just decades and will continue to be maintained, so it will also take its time, decades, centuries, and millennia, and to be sure, depending on how long the individual religions and sects have already existed and in what way they are constituted, in reference to the production of fundamentalism, fanaticism, conservatism, and faith. 18. And through the ever more pervasive mixing of the earth people, that is the mixing of peoples, confirmed believers switch their religion or sect because they are of the mistaken view, and this will be greatly increased, that another religion or sect is truer in its erroneous teachings, and they are not aware that every religion and sect indulges in erroneous teachings. 19. But still, in the coming time, it will be the case that many people increasingly search for the actual truth and fall away from their religions and sects, but unfortunately, this won't lead to the fact that they find the actual truth. Consequently, they will continue to stumble around in darkness and won't find their way out of this. 20. Thus, it will continue to be so, that only a few people find you and your group, and this will continue to grow only very slowly in the core. 21. In the external area, many will, in a loose way, follow more of your traditional teaching of the spirit and, with it, the truth, while the ones who turn to the core of the group are only those who truly recognize the truth of the spirit and the creation in their reason and also know in their hearts that, without a doubt, you bring the teaching of the truth. 22. But unfortunately, doubters and false players will also appear, who join the core, but this is unavoidable because by you and also by the firm group members, these are given the chance and possibility of learning and recognizing, and each person must be treated equally and everyone must be accorded the same rights. Billy, not exactly encouraging, what you say there. Can you tell me, then, what all to expect in relation to this and when the group of 49 will be full? Quetzal, 23. I may not deal with and mention these concerns openly because you will, indeed, still write down our discussions. 24. It is, however, quite possible that I can explain everything to you outside of a publication. Billy, that you can, for I will be silent and will only let everything be my knowledge. Quetzal, 25. But in addition, these will be very unpleasant as well as sad and very painful things that I will have to mention, also with respect to your family as well as members of the core of the group. Billy, so speak already. I surely have a lot to digest, but I've already had to do this my whole life. Quetzal, 26. That is correct and, in fact, not unknown to me. 27. Then listen, 28. 29. Those are the facts that I have to mention. Billy, that, Quetzal, 30. You are concerned, my friend. Dash 31. It really hits you very deeply. 32. It probably would have been better if I had been silent. Billy, no, no, it already goes, son, really, make yourself no worries. Quetzal, 33. Nevertheless, I make myself those. Billy, it's all right, I'll really manage it, even if it takes some time. Quetzal, 34. Then now, I should probably go. Billy, no need, my friend. It already goes again. Quetzal, 35. Then we should, however, now speak of other things. Billy, yes, that will probably be good. Then I would like to ask the following. Sam Jace once said that there are sometimes very powerful convulsions in the universe that are released by black holes. What explanation lies behind this? Quetzal, 36. It concerns space-time convulsions, which we also call space-time quakes. 37. These occur when two black holes collide and merge with one another. Billy, you mean that when two black holes collide and merge with one another, then structural quakes will result in the levels of space and time or even structural convulsions, if I understand that correctly? Quetzal, 38. That is correct. Billy, on my great journey, I was with Tu and Sam Jace in a galaxy about 10 million light years away from the Earth, which was named Demeter Centaurus A. In addition, if I remember correctly, this should be the next active galaxy from the Sol system. In its center is a tremendously massive black hole, about which I have, unfortunately, forgotten what to explain, in terms of the solar masses that exist in this structure, whereby solar masses are calculated in accordance with our Sol. Do you know anything about this? Quetzal, 39. That falls into my knowledge. 40. The center of the galaxy Centaurus A, as it will be designated in Earthly astronomy, actually consists of a supermassive black hole, which has a size or attractive force of 1.35 billion solar masses. Billy, then the following, to explain a few things to me about the so-called dumbbell sun systems, dumbbell galaxies, dumbbell planetary systems, and dumbbell black holes, cosmic structures, etc. that are so close together that they mutually exchange energies and allow their forces to work against each other. During Tua's explanations, I forgot to ask if these structures arise in each case together or individually and then simply approach each other over time, in order then, sooner or later, to collide into one another or rush into each other and merge or even fuse, as you say. Quetzal, 41. Both possibilities exist. Billy, good. Tua said that every black hole is constituted in accordance with a galaxy, which probably means that a black hole is given in accordance with the size of the galaxy. Thus, a small galaxy would have a smaller black hole, and a larger galaxy would have a larger one. Quetzal, 42. That is correct. 43. The mightier a galaxy is, the more massive and more extensive is the black hole. 44. Black holes, even the non-galactic ones, don't arise from scratch, however, because they only grow and develop together with the surrounding matter, so in one case, together with the galaxy, and in the other case, when rogue solar structures collapse and then move through the cosmos as wandering black holes, if I may so explain it. Billy, you may, of course. The center of the black hole of our Milky Way, also according to Tua's explanation, is located about 35,000 light-years away from the Sol system in the constellation of Sagittarius, while we are located with our solar system far outside in the so-called Orion spiral arm. Nevertheless, we are not entirely outside of this because until the very outside, even to the last gases of our galaxy, there is still a whole series of light-years, which must be calculated at around 20,000. But this isn't known to our astronomical scientists. Overall, our Milky Way is, at the greatest distance, about 110,000 light-years in diameter, while our scientists, however, only speak of about 60,000 light-years. But now to this, to my knowledge, the Earth rushes at a speed of 28.8 kilometers per second around the Sun, however, the innermost stars in our Milky Way, which orbit at a far distance around the black hole, must accordingly have a higher speed, right? The Earth is, indeed, a small planet and revolves around our relatively small Sun at a great distance of about 150 million kilometers. Quetzal, 45. Your remarks are correct. 46. And to your question, I would like to say the following. 47. The innermost stars of your galaxy, the Milky Way, are orbiting the black hole at very high speed, which steadily increases, the closer the stars approach the black hole. 48. The inner suns and gases, etc., which are inclined toward the black hole, travel at far more than 1,000 km per second, and these, when they enter the innermost region, still double and triple their speed. Billy, and the black hole of our Milky Way is approximately how many solar masses? And is the center sort of loose or compact and, thus, massive? Quetzal, 49. It is a compact and, thus, massive center, which has an attractive force of around 3.41 million suns. Billy, and, will each sun one day become a black hole? Quetzal, 50. Normally, every massive star turns into a black hole at the end of its existence. 51. Normally, for there are still other possibilities, like that a star or a sun explodes in such a way that a complete radiation, a gasification, or a fragmentation takes place, by what means all matter is ejected into space. 52. But this fact will still remain hidden from the scientists of the Earth for a long time. Billy, it's also likely that the magnetic bands of the black holes, in accordance with their enormousness, rush out up to several million light years into space, like even with certain black holes suction arms that fish several light years through space and tear matter into themselves, and indeed, even loose surface material of planets, as this happened with Venus via the spiral arm of the wandering black hole that moved through M87? And how does it stand, actually, with the black hole that rushes through the region at about 6,000 to 7,000 light years away from our Sol system, or more precisely, outside of this in the outer spiral area? This is, indeed, a wanderer that arose from an enormous collapsed sun. Did this wanderer arise in our galaxy or outside of it? This probably has nothing to do with the other black hole that cruises around within the Milky Way, about 6,000 light years away from the black hole of the center of the galaxy. Quetzal, 53. Before these insights become one, a very long time should still pass. 54. The black hole that moves as a wanderer through space, far beyond your Sol system at about 6,000 light years of distance, does actually come from a large star formation of your galaxy and, thus, is not a foreign object from a foreign galaxy. Billy, still another question, can the tremendous speeds actually be measured from our Earth, which are generated by black holes in the innermost, inner, and outer rotations? Is or will this be possible for the earthly astrophysical scientists? Quetzal, 55. Certainly. 56. Especially in the coming time, they will gain great experiences with this and will win very many new insights. 57. But now, we should not discuss such concerns further, and indeed, also because we should not or may not mention them openly anymore. Billy, then a question about hair. You as well as Sam Jason Tua once talked about the fact that the dyeing of hair is harmful to health because through this, all kinds of sufferings are triggered. What sufferings are particularly significant? Quetzal, 58. Not only does the dyeing of hair with natural and chemical agents promote a variety of illnesses and sufferings, but also certain waste with its excrement of all kinds, water pollution, contamination of drinking water, and the filling of food with chemicals, hormones, and antibiotics. 59. In addition, the most diverse types of cancer and various forms of allergies appear, just as much as dizziness, headaches, eczema, and depressions, as well as many other sufferings that can assume very severe forms. 60. However, the function of the consciousness can also be impaired and lead to severe consciousness disorders and, thus, personality disorders. 61. Also, the ability to concentrate and memory can be affected harmfully, and also male and female infertility as well as health damages to descendants can appear. 62. The dyeing of hair is, thus, just as dangerous as the other health hazardous factors that I mentioned. 63. Also, a variety of personal care products are harmful to health, and in particular, odor inhibiting agents are to be mentioned, as they find use among the Earth people, for example, against the smell of sweat. 64. During their application, such products penetrate into the pores and find entrance into the blood, through which, in turn, the nerves, muscles, and organs are contaminated, and often cause incurable damages that impair the health of those affected to such an extent that they suffer throughout their entire lives. Billy, again a question about hair. When a person is exposed to some substances for a long time or takes in such as certain gases, metals, or toxins, etc., these then set themselves in the hair, which can then be detected after a certain time by certain analyses. I know this because with me, an aluminium poisoning was detected in this manner, which I then had to cure. Now, the question about this is whether it is possible that such substances can also be detected in the hair when a person takes such in a deadly dose and then immediately dies thereafter. For my part, I think that this certainly isn't possible because the entire circulation is, indeed, stopped by death. For example, if a person is killed by poison in a very short time, then the poison can surely no longer penetrate into the hair and deposit itself there, right? It could probably only be detected, then, in the stomach, in the blood or, in some circumstances, in the intestines, but not in the hair, right? Quetzal, 65. That is correct, for when the circulation of the body no longer functions and, thus, comes to a stop, poisons or other substances can no longer be transported into the hair and can no longer be deposited in this and, therefore, can also no longer be detected in this by any analyses. Billy, another question. When I was in India, it was probably 1963, I think, there was a solar eclipse. At that time, I was precisely at the Red Fort. During the solar eclipse, I then noted that strange atmospheric pressure changes occurred and that a just as strange fine wind arose, and everything together evoked a strange mood. Is that actually normal and always the case with a solar eclipse, or was I, perhaps, mistaken from a peculiar psychological excitement? Quetzal, 66. You did not succumb to any deception because such atmospheric pressure changes occur, in addition to others, during every solar eclipse. 67. This involves both the earthly climatic conditions as well as the influences of the sun and moon. Billy, all clear, then I observed correctly. Then again something else, there are still viruses and bacteria, overall countless, different microorganisms, which endure intense cold or intense heat, so, for example, 273 degrees below zero and millions of degrees of heat. The heat bacteria, to my knowledge, are called thermal bacteria and live in volcanoes, etc., as well as in suns and space nebulae. Now, in addition, I wonder whether there are, together with the microorganisms that are immune to heat and immune to cold, also those that are immune to radiation, and I'm thinking especially of radiations that are deadly for human beings, such as gamma rays and X-rays, radium rays, or simply all radioactive radiation, etc. Quetzal, 68. That is correct, for there actually are such microorganisms in thousands of forms. Billy, aha. And how does it stand with their immunity against the various radiations, by which I mean, how high are the doses of radiation that they withstand? Quetzal, 69. That differs depending on the microorganism. 70. So there are microorganisms that can withstand only a little more radiation than human beings, while others have increased doses of radiation that are several thousand times higher than those that are deadly for human beings. Billy, once again, I was asked, because I had talked, in accordance with your information, about neutrinos, if these have a mass, and of course, I said that this is, indeed, the case. But now, I no longer remember exactly whether to explain to me that there are different types of neutrinos or whether I imagined something in this respect. Quetzal, 71. You remember correctly, for there are actually several types of neutrinos, whereby these can transform into one another. 72. Their mass is, indeed, minutely small, nevertheless, they actually have a mass. Billy, so to speak, a nanomass or even a subatomic mass, if I may so designate it. Would that be about right? Quetzal, 73. You always find good designations. Billy, beyond Pluto's orbit, in the cosmic debris belt, from which comets and meteors sometimes come into the interior of our solar system, like also from the even further belt existing beyond this one, there are rather large structures that could be designated as moons or small planets. Very many objects of both belts, so of the one beyond Pluto and of the one that is even further beyond, are rather large and are up to around 3,000 kilometers in size, and they have an orbital period around Sol that amounts to, at least in the inner ring, around 11,300 years, as Tua said. Now, the question is whether there is the danger that these colossi can also penetrate into the inner system and endanger the Sol planets? Quetzal, 74. This possibility is so infinitesimally small that it practically doesn't have to be mentioned. 75. The structures that penetrate from these regions into the inner Sol system are regular comets and meteors, which have certain courses that have been given for thousands and tens of thousands of years. 76.